Well, would you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15? Our study this morning is going to be anchored in John 15. While you're turning, the little ones that are headed off to junior church can go to their class. We're going to spend a few moments in John 15, the first 11 verses there, in our theme this morning. We are going to talk about worship today. Normally, our study that we're going through right now is in the book of 1 Samuel, but on the first Sunday of the month, when we take a break to do the Lord's table, we also take a break from that time in there in order to focus on a different theme. And so we've been doing a series called The Great Words of Our Faith, where we've taken words that we use routinely in the church and ask ourselves, what does this really mean? And we've had the opportunity to explore a number of different concepts. A month ago, we did stewardship, and we looked at all the implications of stewardship. And our goal today is to explore this concept of worship and what it is that worship is all about. We want to be sure that we draw a distinction between simply singing. We often, as a church, and I'm speaking about all the churches, sometimes use the word worship to describe that portion of our service where we are singing, as if the rest of what we were doing had nothing to do with worship. But actually, of course, this is worship as we go to the Word. It's worship when we make our offerings. It's worship when even we're exchanging prayer requests and needs and so forth. We're directing our hearts to the Lord. We're recognizing that He is the one who is our help. He's the source of our power. He's the source of our energy. We are looking toward Him. So our worship directs our heart toward the Lord. As we look at worship today, it's a lot more than simply the singing portion of our service. It's also even more than our service. As you woke up this morning and as you head out this afternoon, when you're engaged in the world throughout the week, there's the worship aspect of your life through all of that. It's a matter of remembering God. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a Russian man. You've heard his name. He was a student of what had taken place in Russia. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn would describe how when he was a young man, people would answer the question, "What happened to our country?" by saying, "Men have forgotten about God." Well, Solzhenitsyn began a long-term study of the history of Russia. He spent 5 decades studying, writing, and his analysis of what took place is it's the bedrock, it's the foundation where people go to really understand the culture there. How it was that Russia moved from this great land of innovation and power, military might, great composers and great authors that have come out of the land of Russia, how this nation could descend into the communist revolution that cost that land 60 million lives, swallowed up by the likes of Lenin and Stalin and others who followed after them. Solzhenitsyn, as he got done with studying the history of the land, came back to the same conclusion. He said, "The most concise explanation that I could give is, men forgot about God. They forgot about the Lord." Worship, as we come to explore this term, means really that we don't forget about God. It means that day in and day out, our heart and our mind are grappling with the question, what is the Lord in this? What is His will for my life? It is the ongoing confession of our dependence upon Him. It's the acknowledgement that we need Him. He isn't just simply available to us in a crisis and we can push it, put Him on speed dial and pray and ask for deliverance from some small issue we're going through. But it is rather the acknowledgement that it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. He's our very breath. He's our life. Without him, we are lost. Without him, we are nothing. Our worship is the acknowledgement that he's preeminent in our lives. He's first place. There's no one who is higher or more exalted or takes a greater role in us than the Lord Jesus Christ. And John chapter 15 is going to be the foundation for our study this morning as we look at that truth. Let me read you the passage that we're going to cover this morning, and then we'll ask the Lord to give us wisdom and direction in it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Well, pray with me as we ask the Lord to take us through his word here this morning. Father, we recognize that the Lord's parable of the vine and the branches are a vivid picture of the necessity that we have in abiding or remaining in Christ. And so as we explore your text this morning, we ask that you'd grant clarity to us, that we're not lost in the details, but that we see the main point, which is the ongoing necessity that we walk in a spirit of dependence and acknowledgement that the Lord Jesus Christ is central to our very lives. So, Lord, we pray, help us with this text, and may you be glorified and exalted through it all. For we ask it in your Son's name. Amen. Well, we want to begin with Roman numeral 1, which is our point simply that the first priority of the believer is Jesus Christ. That's our first priority. Now, sometimes when you look at the way we live our lives, you would think perhaps some other priority has taken its place. For example, we are all tend to be a little bit busy. We've got preoccupied, maybe with good quality ministry things, maybe they're preoccupied with family issues, or we preoccupied with work. You know, we worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship, some have said. It needs to be turned around, and we need to make sure that Jesus Christ is the first priority and the preeminent one in our lives. And so, first of all, we are to abide in him. That's what the scripture tells us, that he is the one, he's the vine, we're the branches. It's not the other way around. We cannot accomplish anything except that we are abiding in him. He says that he is the true vine and the Father is the vineyard keeper. And every branch that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You know, the Lord is talking here about the reality about taking care of vineyard. That is, it's a dramatic picture, especially for people like myself who are not terribly familiar with the growing of grapes. And so I've driven past large vineyards, especially in the southern regions, and I've seen them shortly after they've been pruned. And I think to myself, wow, what do they use, a chainsaw? They go through and they prune those things down to where a guy like me would think they wouldn't survive. But you see, they're the experts, and they know exactly what they're doing, and they're contributing to that vine's production of fruit. In fact, you would be absolutely convinced that I have no idea what's going on in the world of pruning if you saw me at work. I have a pear tree in my front yard. I love pears, and the first thing I did when I moved in there was plant a pear tree. I've not had one pear from it since I put it in, finally concluding I needed another pear tree. So I put that one in the backyard, and then it froze to death last winter. So now I have my third pear tree planted. We'll see if next spring I get any pears. But if you looked at my tree, you would recognize that this is not a tree pruned by someone who has a clue what they're doing. I stand there with a with pruning shears, and I don't know where to cut. I mean, I can cut the dead ones out. I'm pretty good at that part. But I don't know where the rest of it goes. But those that understand the pruning, they go in there and they prune. You know, they train that tree the way it should go, or train the vine. And the Lord's pruning and working on it. Now, when we abide in Christ, He is in the business of pruning and developing and making it possible for us to be fruit-producing Christians, to be those that are able to produce the fruit, that are able to accomplish the will of God. And so He brings about His pruning process. And sometimes we're guilty of saying, "Lord, ouch, what's this all about? Why did you do that? Why did you cut that off? Why did that happen to me? Hey, where are you? Do you still love me?" And so the Lord uses this whole image of a vine and of its branches to remind us that we are connected in an unbroken connection, kind of the second point, an unbroken connection with the vine. It's a necessity for us if we abide to just keep on hanging on. Now, mostly you don't see branches that actually have the authority to sort of attach or detach themselves. The branches just grow there. But He uses this parable to help us understand the necessity for us to remain in Jesus Christ, because that's where our connection comes from. Well, He makes this comment that He says, "You're already clean," in verse 3, "because of the word I've spoken to you." So He's saying, you're already grafted in. If you're belong to Jesus Christ, you've been made a part of the vine. Now He's just saying, stay there, remain there, abide in that. Verse 4, "Just as a branch cannot produce fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me." We have to keep that unbroken connection. We've got to stay with the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's no fruit that can emerge from our lives unless it comes through the vine. I appreciated the constant direction that our speaker here for our Bible conference, Dr. Jerry Benjamin, as he kept in message after message directing our hearts back to the centrality of Jesus Christ, that He was the preeminent one. We talked about leaning into Christ. I love that word picture of leaning into Him, because if you're leaning into Christ, then when He moves, you move with Him because you're leaning into Him. It's an expression of that dependence upon Him. Worship is far more than just joyfully or loudly singing a song in church, although that is worship. It is also leaning in, making Christ central to your life, saying to Him, "Lord, even when the darkness comes in, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord." It's a posture, it's an attitude, it's a mental frame of mind that just leans on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the second thing we're introduced to in this is that producing fruit only comes after the abiding. And He picks that up in verse 5 when He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit." So we are called to be fruitful Christians. We're called to be fruit producers. This is something that the Lord wants us to do. He says, but you cannot do it if you do not remain in Him. He says, you can do nothing without me. And then in verse 6, He says, "If anyone does not remain in me, he's thrown aside like a branch and he withers. gathered and thrown into the fire. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done. So here's what he's saying to us is that, and we want to be careful that we don't try and take this parable outside of the boundaries that the Lord's using it for. He's not having a referendum here on the doctrine of eternal security. He's talking instead about the issue of abiding in Christ, receiving our nourishment, our instruction from him, that we are related to him in a way that is a constant, ongoing abiding. And so he says to us, we are fruitful when we abide, when we are plugged into him. And then he goes on to say, even to this extent, a verse that we are often fond of quoting, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. What he's saying to us is you can ask whatever you want, because if you are abiding in the vine, if your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is so connected with him, if your heart is so resonating with his heart, if your will is so submitted to his will, if whatever he's doing in your life meets with your submissive and humble approval because you acknowledge that he is a sovereign, holy God who knows what he's doing with you, to that extent, then everything you ask for, everything you do, meets with the will of the Father, because it's already the will of the Father working its way out in you. So he's saying the more you abide, the more your prayer is answered, because your prayer is in agreement with what the Father is already doing, with what the Son is already doing. Well, we abide by just that constant maintaining of that relationship with him. It is, it's found in a daily attitude that just says, Lord, I can't get through this day without you. When I'm in the morning reading the Word of God, I'm one of those people, I kind of have goals that I set, things I want to get done. I'm a checker-offer. You know, when this gets done, I check that off. So it would be real easy for me to kind of come to the Word of God in the morning and just read the passage that's marked out, check that off, and move on to what's next. And because I recognize that tendency in me, there's not a time that I don't stop before I ever start to read. And I say, Lord, I need to hear your voice through your Word today. I need to know what your heart, your will is to me. You know the hunger of your servant to understand you. So I'm asking you, Lord, to speak to me through your word, because it's alive and powerful. And so then I will begin to read. Now, I'm not looking for something spectacular. I'm not looking to discover some theological truth hitherto hidden from 6,000 years of theologians. I just need to hear my Father say something to me through his word that morning. And so he will do that. Now, the French have a phrase that is, a proverb that says, a good meal ought to begin with hunger. A good meal ought to begin with hunger. And so, think about that for a moment. Now, if you come to a meal and you are starving, then you'll eat anything because anything will taste good. It doesn't even have to be good food. If you come to a meal and you're not hungry, then you're going to be even pickier about the food. But if you come to the meal with just the right amount of hunger, then that's an important part of the whole concept of enjoying the meal. And that's what the French mean, and that's what the Lord is talking about. He's saying, if you abide in me, then you have a hunger for me. You recognize on a daily basis that your heart is drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to have him. You want to hear from him. You want your life to be lived in agreement with him and with what he is doing. And so he tells us, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Well, the third part is Roman numeral 3, abiding in Christ is essential. We are, let me pick it up in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. First of all, then, we are to remain in his love. He says to us, this is what I want you to do. I want you to remain in my love. I want you to be dialed into what I'm all about, which is my work, my love for a fallen world. And then he says to us, we keep this aspect of remaining in his love by keeping his commands. We are to keep his commands. He says, as I have kept my Father's commands, you keep mine. And then he says to us in verse 11, I have said these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So what he's offering to us is this relationship that is not simply a coming to church on a Sunday morning and there having a moment or an hour of some fun singing, connecting with other people, delicious cookies, and then go home to forget about any relationship with the living God. Now, there are churches out there in the world, I've been into them. That's kind of what it's about. It's really more of a social gathering than a place to really be connected with the living God. But what he's saying to us is it's not only here, but it's outside of here. It's at home and it's at work. That every day we're asking the same question, Lord, how do I remain in you? I want to be listening to you. I want to be worshiping you. I want my life to be in conformity with you. I want to live my life in a way that brings honor and glory to you. If we do, if we remain in him, then he allows us to bear fruit for him. He allows us to be fruitful believers for him. You know, my son David is returning now from a trip that he made to North Idaho. I told you last week, if you were here, about the tragic story of a young couple whose little baby boy was tragically killed in a home accident. A table fell on the baby and killed it. And this young couple, this is their only child, they were beside themselves with grief, and my youngest son, a good friend of theirs, had already gone to help encourage and minister to them. And then this week, they called and asked if either myself or Dave could come and help them with a service. And I couldn't go, and so Dave loaded up, and he went up there. He did the service yesterday, and he called me after it was over, and he said that the Lord moved in a powerful way to bring comfort and encouragement and healing in the midst of a very, very sad service. It's a terrible, it's one of the more difficult funerals that you can ever imagine, doing one for a little baby. And then secondly, doing one for a couple that don't know the Lord only makes it worse or more challenging. And so Dave's first funeral was that. But he threw himself on the Lord. He did not decline. He did not run away. He said, Lord, I have nothing but you. And God gave great grace because he was willing to abide in the vine. The vine gave fruit in the service. That's the faithfulness of our God. Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word and thank you for the truth of it and the encouragement that it is to our hearts as we just recognize that worship means that we are always abiding in you, remaining in you, accepting the fact that apart from you we can do nothing, that all the fruit that you want to bear in our lives is an extension of our being connected to you. And so we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be fruitful Christians for your name's sake. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.